and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 308. Yes, 300 days and more than a week. How are we all doing? Oh, Sunday, day of rest. Don't ever believe it. That's all I'll say. I do, however, have a rather interesting freebie for you. Hello, Jonathan. Oh, I am indeed very pleased to hear that, Jonathan. Made a start on the eye kettle review. Excellent. Our kettle's on the frizz. I mentioned that, didn't I? So we've deployed a spare kettle, which seems to take the best part of a week to boil. So we might be in the market for a smart kettle. Because turning the toilet light on and off went so well for Mike the other day, didn't it, with the A-lady? I decided to attempt to help with the app, but by the time I got to the app and tapped the toilet light, he'd already managed to get it on, which meant that me tapping it actually turned it off. Don't go there. He wasn't a happy bunny. CQ, CQ Deb. Hello, Simon. You're even writing it in Ulysses, or however it's spelled. Jonathan, you need to have, like, U-L-Y-S autocorrect. That'll solve your problem. That will solve your problem. Have you not used Ulysses for anything else since you bought it? Well, actually, it's on setup, isn't it? So what do you use it for? I've got all of the blog posts in there. When I'm not tinkering around with Mike's Mind and the A-Lady app. Now, I don't know if this book that I've got, it's a freebie on Amazon today. For some strange reason, it's gone straight into the freebie charts at number one. I can't imagine why. I do believe it's the illustrated version as well. It definitely says annotated. So, little freebie for you. Mike's already got a copy. A hardback copy, no less. I bought him that for his first birthday. The first birthday we were together, which was his 25th birthday. His mother bought him a Thomas the Tank Engine cake. I think we had, I think in terms of the age spectrum, I was at the 25 end and she was at the 3 end. So Mike said, I'm going to take this with me to show them what you bought me. And I said, it's probably not the best idea you've ever had, Mike. But he insisted. Don't think his mother's ever looked at me the same since. Yes, it was the hardback edition of the Illustrated Kama Sutra. But, you know, it all depends on how you look at it as to whether it's filthy or not. Oh, Jonathan used it to write his end of year review. Oh, was this the kind of what you've done in the year and why they should continue to pay you thing? Mike does those. His appraisal. Yeah. I find it absolutely hysterical. And he can't keep a straight face when I'm giggling over it all. Because, you know, why are they paying you at all if they need to appraise you? You know, Mike, you've been there, I think it's 15 years, if not more. Why do they need to appraise you? But it's something that they do to waste time and money, in my opinion. But there you go. Hello, Paul. How are you doing? You don't think you'll be adding the reading of that to Goodreads for Mummy Isaacs to see? No, Mummy Isaacs doesn't need to know about that, does she? No. She probably does know about it, but, you know, not in terms of her number one boy. No, definitely not. Don't put it on Goodreads. I wonder if it is a fully illustrated version. But there you go. And we did actually read it. It's most interesting. It's still on the bookshelf. You actually had that on the bookshelf. Oh, bless him. Crazy. Paul is doing well. Excellent. Excellent. Hopefully everybody's doing well. We had fun last night, didn't we, in By Request? It was faith and all things faith related. Oh, we got some fabulous songs, including, and you've probably never heard of them if you weren't there, the Lancashire Hot Pots singing the Wigan Church of Pies. Brilliant, brilliant song. Love it. They were the group who did the Trafford Centre song. They're like a comic act, but they're very, very clever. They take songs, the tune to which you would know, and then completely change the lyrics. Very, very funny. We also had, I can't remember the name of the family. I know it began with an M. Could be Marsh family. No, I've not got COVID. I've done the smell test today, so definitely not. They took the tune of Hallelujah and have put the words to it of Take the New Jab. And they were, I think they were 5 and 6, the girls. Whoa, they were amazing. 5 and 6, the voices were stunning. So we did that one as well. You can't see any details because of the pixelation. Oh, Simon. You won't be recommending it to Mummy Isaacs, but you know, she might be open-minded, Jonathan. Kim's still in the church service. Oh, that makes total sense to be talking about Hallelujah then, Kim. Good evening to you. Hello, Pete. How are you doing? Have you actually moved yet? Because I know you're moving. You said you were moving. Have you actually done the deed yet? I can't bear to think about moving. I've only moved twice in my entire life, if you forget university. And I was more of a it's all in the suitcase nomad back then. I never actually decided I was going to go to university, as it were. I went to university, but in my car. Like a person who lives in their car. Suitcase in the back. Little kettle that could boil off the cigarette lighter, and copious amounts of pot noodle. And that was me at university. And then I drove home. I used to do about 2 to 2,500 miles a week travelling to university and back. I did actually stay longer when I got to do the postgrad that I did before I actually graduated, which was at Oxford. And Oxford doesn't lend itself well to that. So I did actually have to stay there then. But not in digs, because I went down for like set periods of time. And then came back, did a load of work, went back again. So I actually stayed at the Randolph. You should have seen it. When other fellow students were like, you know, in grotty digs with cockroaches. And it was, oh, are you walking home? Where are you going? So I said, the Randolph. Most expensive hotel in Oxford. Yeah, but it was nice. And you got a good deal if you were staying for 2 weeks. So I certainly enjoyed it. Oh, and back then when I was at Oxford, they were filming Inspector Morse and they used to stay at the Randolph as well. So I was in good company. Oh, I enjoyed that. My favourite TV programme at the time, that. So it was fantastic to head down to breakfast and there the cast and crew were having breakfast. It's like, what are you filming? Who's the murderer? Just so I know in hand. Oh, it was fabulous. Oh, right. Let's have a look what's going on now. Oh, Jonathan needs a prayer saying for him. Is this for something in particular or just in general, Jonathan? Hello, Paul. How is it down under? Okay. Not moving until February. Gives you a little bit of time. This will be it for a very long time after 9 moves in 11 years. Oh, Pete. You have my sincere sympathies. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't. First time we moved, I was 9, I think. And I'd actually been born in the house that we lived in. So I'd never been anywhere else other than holiday. And when we moved, it was a bit of a culture shock. I guess because the house we were going from was bigger than the one we were going to. So that didn't work well for a start. So I remember half the furniture had to be changed. So it was a case of that's not coming with us, but we're going to need a wardrobe when we get there. So there was all this flat pack stuff arrived as well. So that was, and it was to a village. It was that picky I put up the other night. It's a village in the middle of nowhere. And you're not a local until you're 5 generations in. So there were people who lived there, had families there, were almost dead there, but they weren't locals because they hadn't been there long enough. Yes, it was that kind of place. Like the Midwich Cuckoos. Yeah, it was a bit like a John Wyndham. And then I thought, well, at least we're here now. Not that I enjoyed it. But then 2.5 years later, Mum and Dad decided to move because they actually wanted to move to exactly where we are now, straight from the first house. But it was so expensive here. They moved out and then the house prices went up and they could afford to move back, which meant a moving again. Oh, how do you do it? It's hideous. You know, Mum made me go through everything, like, you don't need this and you don't need that. And I'm thinking, why are you taking those magazines from 20 years ago then, woman? But, you know, that just caused a row. So you didn't actually say it too often. But it was like, you don't need this. And I'm like, but Mum, it was a teddy bear from when I was a baby and I've got to keep it. And then we moved in here and we had more room. So we did at least that size at that time, move up a size. So a lot of stuff that we're in, we used to use tea chests back then. I'm sure they don't use those anymore. These were genuine tea chests made of wood with like metal edges on them and a circle cut in the top. And you put books and stuff in there. So we did all of that. And then when we got here, Mum said, we'll keep it all tidy. So we'll put it in the conservatory for the moment. Clearly, she had no idea that the conservatory leaked all over my books. Anyway, she had to replace the ones that I really, really wanted. But moving is a nightmare. Oh, no. Maybe it was just my mother. She wanted new carpets and new curtains and new this and new that. So she actually moved into a war zone, basically, for about a year before she was happy enough with it. And all the while you're doing that, you know, you're coming home from school, you've got your French textbook in one hand and a paintbrush in the other. Just do me that wall while you're there. She was crazy. And then when she just got it all right, you know, these magazines, I mean, basically it would be Pinterest now, but there were like magazines, women's magazines, that said like, look at the latest trend in kitchens. And Mum looked at it and looked at hers and said, I'm going to have to redo the kitchen. You're like, oh, not again. I think she redid the kitchen about 8 times. In the end, it was just too much. Totally too. When she decided she wasn't doing it again, right, she said, you know, I'll just have to settle with what I've got now. Dad breathed a sigh of relief. A little bit too soon, Dad. Because then, now this was a genuine accident as far as I know, but, you know, she's not here to deny it. She set the kitchen on fire. There was an incident with a pan. So then the kitchen needed redoing. Dad went absolutely bald. Absolutely bald, bless him. He did not like DIY. And she didn't like people to come in. Because the one time she had somebody come in, she'd just had a stroke. Now, she had these regularly. I think that was about the third. And Dad said, you're not doing the decorating. So he got this guy in. He was an absolute idiot. Mum was going to have another stroke just watching him. So I said to Dad, you know, could really do with getting rid of this guy. But the thing was, he did work for my dad's company. So he's like, how do you get rid of him from the house? Anyway, they told him that Mum really wasn't well enough to have work done at the moment. So this guy took that. And yeah, no problem, no problem. And the second his back was turned, Mum was in there with the stripper, taking off the stuff he'd put on. She then totally changed her mind with what wallpaper she wanted. And the next minute, she was up a ladder again. She'd literally not been out of hospital 2 weeks and she was up a ladder decorating. But you know what? Her blood pressure came down once she wasn't watching this imbecile put the paper on sideways and upside down. Oh, what can you do? I can't believe 9 moves in 11 years. That's just crazy. Peace just on 3 nights on call. They were brutal. Topped off by some dude brought in by 6 cops after being found running around naked in the snow in -3. Do you know, they have a thankless task and so do you, Pete. I would say, was he all right? But bits might have withered and dropped off with frostbite, so maybe not. I'm presuming some kind of mental health issue, unless he just had enough of lockdown. Because talking of lockdown and people who can't keep in their houses for 5 minutes, on the match today, they had a minute something for Jerry Marsden, who died, Jerry and the Pacemakers. And the next minute, they're all clapping away. And I said, I thought this was a minute's silence. And Mike said, no, they're having a minute's clapping. I loathe that. They have the minute's applause now at football instead of a minute's silence. Because literally, every time they try and have a minute's silence, some idiot starts chanting. Tells you a lot about the COVID stats, this. The fact that people cannot just stand there silently for 60 seconds. You can only imagine what they're getting up to COVID-wise. Stay in your house for the next 3 months. Is that okay? Said Boris. Yeah, short answer to that. Well, for me is yes, that's absolutely fine. Don't let the door hit your backside on the way out. But other people can't seem to manage that. Not for 2 seconds, can they? Does tell you a lot. Jonathan's not done anything bad. You just like to build up credits. Never know when you might need them. Jonathan, that's a brilliant idea. I'm loving that. Don't do drugs, kids. Oh, it was drugs, was it? Poor Pete. This is why you need your jab early. You should have had it weeks ago for dealing with idiots like that. You don't know where they've been. Paul, we're never moving again. Exactly. And neither's Pete. It is. It's just with all the stress of the finance and the paperwork and the legalities. And even that isn't the worst of it, is it? It's packing everything up. Oh, no. And then there's the unpacking at the other end, which technically should be lovely, but never is because you can't find something. All of a sudden, you need a widget you've not seen for the last 5 years and you don't know which box it's in. Do they use tea chests anymore, Pete, seeing as though you are an expert in moving? They were huge, these tea chests. When my aunt moved, oh, many years after that, about 15 years later, everything was cardboard boxes. And the problem with that was these cardboard boxes were absolutely useless. They weren't the style of like file boxes. They were the style where they flat packed, you opened them and then you had to seal the bottom. And the top didn't have a lid. It had fold over flaps. So to move and be safe, you needed to seal the top as well, which meant you'd got no clue what was in each box. She tried the old writing numbers on it, but it didn't work well. She didn't realise until about 3 years after she moved in, she'd lost the mixer. The mixer never did turn up. It was in a box, but that she thinks the box never arrived. And I thought, well, you're not going to miss the mixer much if you've not missed it in the first 3 years. She wasn't exactly renowned as a culinary wizard. Oh, church ran late as the preschoolers received the Bibles via Zoom. Oh, that's so cute. They taught them to say Jesus loves me in sign language. Oh, that's adorable. Our lot always seemed to do singing. What's the song they do? It's got all like sign language to it. Our God is a great big God. And they do like a rainbow sign and stuff. It is adorable. We also do a school bag blessing, where they all bring their school bags in and they all go up on the altar with them. And then Ned does the old blessing thing. But he always does it where he asks them if they're enjoying school and do they like their teacher. And it is hysterical. Like you'll get like a grumpy lad going, no. Oh, well, do you like your teacher? No. The teachers are sat there. Oh, it's fantastic. I do love that. Usually done at the end of Mass, so I try and make that when we're not selling raffle tickets, because if we're selling raffle tickets, we're at the back and we can't hear them properly. Oh, but they are so adorable, aren't they? Hello, Anthony. The packing and unpacking's the worst part. Did your remote controls ever turn up, Paul? Because didn't you put yours with the equipment and Mrs. Paul didn't? Something went wrong with the remote control, I remember it. And you said you were quite happy you'd got yours. Did you ever find the others? Mum was lethal with her remote controls. She had one for the TV that she totally understood. But then a good few years ago, UK television went digital. So the receiver in your TV, it stopped getting the analogue signal. So we bought this digital box because she liked the TV. I don't want a digital box. I thought we'd be sat there watching snow if you don't have it. So we bought it anyway. Stuck it on the top of the TV. When she realised this digital box didn't just get channels 1 to 5, it got all the rest. All of a sudden she warmed to it. But she was never brilliant with the remote on that. Dad could use the one for the TV, but she would not let him touch the one for the digital box. So whatever channel she left it on, that was what he was stuck with. Not allowed, not trusted with the remote control. That's because his hands were always filthy. He liked to mechanic or woodwork or, now when I say woodwork, drill holes in wood. If you actually wanted a shelf building or something, forget it. But if he was just outside tinkering or gardening and his hands were totally black, so he would come in and there'd be something on the remote control, or he'd go straight in there and he wouldn't have washed his hands. We won't do that these days. After dinner, and he'd push like the volume and there'd be gravy on it. Mum would go mad. So he was banned from using it totally. Ah, you've sorted all the remotes out. Excellent. Or at least you've got a remote that works each TV. Well, you can't say fairer than that, can you? At least these days you can get replacements. Back in the day, Mum wouldn't let him touch it because you couldn't. Each one was unique to that TV. And if you got a replacement, it never quite had all of the functions on it. What we took to doing in the end, I got her one of these, I think it's called All for One remote controls. And it basically did everything. So I got her two. I got one that had all of the functions on as far as possible, and we kept the original well out of the way because I needed to use that if it needed retuning. So if it had been broken in the meanwhile, then the TV was virtually a write-off. So that's what we did with that. Put it in a plastic bag, labelled it. Oh, yes, got to label it. Otherwise, you end up with like 20 remotes. You don't know what belongs to what. And then she had like a full remote control as far as possible. And this little thing, and the little thing only had like 5 buttons on it. Volume up, volume down, channel up, channel down, and standby. And that was the one she let Dad have. Every now and then, not all the time, mind. Oh, Kim, I think you definitely take the award for that. 17 moves and hate it. What's the worst bit for you? My worst bit was the fact when I first moved, I only moved twice. One when I was 8 and one when I was 12. What was I, 9? I must have been 9. We moved in the January. That's not a good time to move either. Pro tip, don't move in January. I must have been 9. Yeah, 9 and 12. I hated packing everything up and actually saying goodbye to the only home that I'd ever known. I hated that at 9. The other one, I couldn't actually wait to get out of the area. This little village thing, it was hideous. I mean, to get to school was about 3 miles on a bike, but it was uphill and down dale. And when it snowed there, it snowed. It looked like something out of the Arctic. My mum, we had to walk to school one day. There was none of this, we've got 2 flakes of snow, we have to close the school. We actually had to walk it. A very nice local guy, he had a Jaguar. Oh, never been in a car as posh as that. It was fantastic and it was warm. So that knocked about 1.5 miles off the journey. He dropped us off at the top of the road. And we walked from there. But Mum had to do the walk all the way back. So she walked back from school, like 3.5 miles. When she got back home, my aunt lived opposite on this little tiny housing thing. And my aunt had a car, but Mum didn't drive. When my aunt saw my mum, she felt so guilty because she had a car sat on the drive and she saw us walk off. A neighbour we didn't know gave us a lift, but my aunt just waved as we walked past. She knew it was going to be a 6.5 mile walk for my mum and she just waved. But when Mum got back, she'd put on this like fur hat and it had like ties that would go underneath that you could put into like a bow. But on the end of the ties, there were like two balls of fur. When she got back, she actually had icicles hanging off the hat. And these balls were frozen solid. She couldn't actually get the thing off. That was what the weather was like there. So I was very, very glad to move. But because there was a, you know, the chain when you move, it was all out of whack. We ended up moving in with my gran and granddad for 2 weeks. That was agonising. Because it was so tiny. It was a two up, two down house. So it had technically 2 bedrooms. But they'd managed to put an extra bed on like the landing bit on the way to the bathroom, which didn't have a toilet. It was an outside toilet. I was scared witless going to the toilet from about 8 o'clock because it was dark. And then the outside toilet was full of spiders. It was hideous. So that was great fun for 2 weeks, not. And during those 2 weeks, I was actually prepping for an exam week here called the 11 plus, which is basically, do you go to grammar school or do you go to a standard secondary school? And I had to prep for that while I was doing it there. Oh, what a summer that was. Not surprised, I'm mentally scarred much. So when I went, in inverted commas, to university, this was still my address, never moved. Never moving again. I don't mind going anywhere in my car, but we're going back home. We're not actually packing all our stuff and moving. That's never, ever, ever happening. I think I actually could. Can you move half a time? Because I think I did when Mike moved in. Mayor arrived in 2001 and Mike had a flat at the time about 25 miles away. And Mum said, you're going to need him to help when the dog arrives. And I said, it's a dog, you know, how difficult can it be? OMG. 2 days later, he had to take time off work. You need parental holiday for this, you know. Maternity leave and paternity leave. We were both absolutely dead on our feet, and the dog was just bouncing around. He was fine. We were dead on our feet. So she was quite right. So she said, why don't you just move in? So I don't think he ever went back home from 2001, but we didn't sell the flat for another 2 years. So when the flat got put up for sale, I had to do the old Anne-Marie's curb appeal thing on it. I think it sold within 10 days. I did a very good job. There was nowhere to sit. There was nowhere to put a cup of tea, but, you know, it looked good. And then obviously Mike moved in here. So that's half a move, isn't it? Because all his stuff from his flat had to come in here as well. Yes, I think 2.5. I'm claiming the half on that. Kim didn't like the packing and unpacking. It should be like a new start. I think for me it wasn't, because maybe I didn't pack right, but I could never find the stuff that I wanted. It was always in the last box. No matter what it was that I wanted, it was always in the last box that I looked. And, you know, there were things that I swore I put it in box 17. And then when I found it, Mum had de-boxed it, and it was then in box 109. And it was like, well, why did you put it in there, Mum? Well, it made sense at the time. And rule one, don't argue with Mum. Rule two, see rule one. Kim's last move was that moving van hit the house while backing up and you had to replace the gutter. Kim, oh no, that's a disaster, isn't it? You've lost several things in moves. I don't think I actually lost anything permanently. But for some things you might as well have done. One of them that I remember was a dictionary. I think it was like a Collins something dictionary, and it was the best dictionary. And it disappeared. Then when it resurfaced, by the time it resurfaced, Mum had bought me another dictionary. But by the time this thing resurfaced, it had got damp outside, so it needed to be thrown away anyway. Things like that happened, but I don't think I ever actually permanently lost anything. But I think my mum had got experience of that happening. And as soon as we landed, she checked everything. So she was very organised. So she'd have like a checklist and check the boxes in by number, and then sort all the contents out. Whereas my aunt took the approach of, you know, well, they've dumped everything in the front room, I'll deal with it later. Hence, 3 years, she's looking for the mixer, and she decided in the end it must have got lost in the move. But my mum was stood there with a checklist as they brought the boxes in, and she checked off every one. So they certainly didn't make off with anything of Mum's. And we still have her mixer. She had an industrial strength mixer from the early 70s, which is still going strong today. But no, we've not had one that's back up and hit the house. They actually complained that they couldn't get close enough to the house. I mean, why not? I don't know. Oh, have you finally finished?
Yes.
Newsing and I would say dogging, but we won't
come
say
on,
dogging.
Can you come?
Hello, babe. You're going to come say hello?
Come on.
Tell them what a good girl you were in the night.
Steve won't be back.
Hmm?
Steve won't be back.
Oh, so you sorted with that?
No.
Oh. Well, what was the problem?
A missed call.
Oh, right, I'm with you. I hear dog bones. I hear dog bones. I've got a red one.
Come on.
Don't know what that is. There we go. Oh, she's interested now. And she's taking it outside. That's a good treat when she takes it outside. Right, let's have a look.
Right, there's one dentist stick there.
All right, well, give me the dentist stick. She'll be back in for that.
She will.
Right. Pete hates packing boxes. We're talking about moving.
Oh.
And I think it's Kim's got the record so far, 17 times. Although Pete's might have been more condensed, 9 times in 11 years, which is just criminal. That shouldn't be allowed. Right, so Pete hates packing the boxes. Nice thing is we're going somewhere bigger than the current place. Unpacking will be easier and we won't have to decide what stuff to consign to the garage. Well, you say that, Pete. Mrs. Pete might have other ideas. You know the old let's just put it in the garage while I redecorate manoeuvre? Watch out for that one. It's lethal. Oh, Kim lost a baseball glove and a beautiful ring that your mother had made you. You wonder how this happens. I mean, my aunt decided in the end that this had been stolen. But I thought, well, you know, if you don't stand there with your checkbox checking stuff off. But there's other things that you wouldn't particularly put in a box and give to a mover. Things like Mum had boxes that she decided she was moving. which were things like checkbooks, bank statements, credit card stuff. She didn't want to put that in a box and just give it to the movers. So that all had to come separate. Dad was the only one at the time who drove, so obviously we were hearing all about it from him in stereo, that, you know, the back axle all go. Such a misery. Do you want my thing? Are you doing the call?
Yeah, I've got mine.
Right, well, you put it on yours. Oh, yes, it's moving. Mentally scarred. You know this mental health thing kick that everybody has these days? Oh, yes, I've got one. Come and high five. Come and high five for one. Good girl. Good girl. There we go. Oh, it's a red one. And I've got a dentist stick, but we're not mentioning that at the moment. It's the last dentist stick that's up here. It's a brown one. But I've not taken it out of the bag. She won't smell it yet. Hmm. Right, hang on. So Paul's parents filled two cartons, one of valuables and one for the tip. They were identical. Oh no, both went to the tip. That sounds like the guy with the Bitcoin, doesn't it? Who's offering 55 million? If anyone can find his hard drive at the tip. You know who did that very recently? And it was deliberate, Paul. It wasn't an accident like that. Chidge. Nina went mental. Nina had got these vases, very tall vases, and they'd moved house, and these vases ended up in the garage of the new house. And that was because the old house was bigger, they moved to a bungalow. So for a start, they had more stuff than space. But the other issue was the bungalow needed completely renovating. So they like knocked a dining room through into a kitchen and ended up with a massive kitchen and all of that. So there literally was hardly any room inside while the workmen were in doing everything. So they redid the entire kitchen. They did the dining room and knocked that through to the kitchen. Then there was something like a patio on the outside. So these two vases ended up in the garage and they'd been there about 3 years, admittedly. He just got one on himself one day, and this place needs tidying up, and he threw these vases away. Shall we just say he's still hearing about it now? Come on, come nearer. Right, there we go. You can come right up and get this treat, because I want high fives. Good girl, good girl. Dentistic, approved by Kim. Sniff. There we go, good girl. Pete's new house will soon be full. Things creeping. You're not kidding, Kim. You are not kidding. Do you know, I actually wonder sometimes where half the stuff comes from. But I think we shouldn't be quite as hard on ourselves as maybe in the past. Because when I look around the room I'm sat in now, it's my office. And literally we're talking like there's a scanner there that's not been used since whenever. I had it on my PC and I had not had a PC for 15 years and the scanner still sat there. There's things like hole punches for my arc binder. There's magazines, there's system DVDs, I've got hundreds of those. This isn't stuff you would normally have in a house. It's the kind of stuff you would have in your office. But because the house is my office as well, that's my excuse. And if we get on to counting hard drives, well, I'll need a Pantechnicon just for the hard drives, if that's okay. Oh, Mike has been doing his excelling thing, has he? Excellent. Two of Pete's moves were across the Atlantic and back for a year. That's even worse. Wow. The couple opposite went to France. Was it for a year or two? I think it was originally for a year, but I'm not sure if they didn't do two. And their issue was the house was full to start with here. Obviously, they're only going for a certain amount of time. And it was a kind of drafty French kind of farmhousey thing. But the house here was going to be let out to afford them to do it. And they had to put all of the stuff from the house in the garage and the loft. So the rest of the house was empty. Then this couple moved in. They were weird. Do you remember the couple that moved in opposite? They were barking mad weird, by which I mean they'd wait on a Sunday night because our bins used to go on a Monday. They'd wait, and when you put your bin out, they'd come across and put rubbish in it.
Oh, yeah, I caught them, didn't I?
Mike caught them when he was out whittling the dog. And he said, sorry, our bin's full, just putting some rubbish in here. And you're like, well, what is it? Because bearing in mind here, why wouldn't you put your rubbish in your own bin unless it was full? But I wouldn't necessarily say his bin was that full. But knowing that the bin police come round here and check your bins, if it was something like drug paraphernalia, I don't want it in our bin. And I said to Mike, don't, on pain of death, tell Mum what's going on. I said, but when he's gone, I said, take the stuff out of the bin and put it back in his bin. You shouldn't have to do this, should you? Luckily, they moved in the end. I was just glad they hadn't sold the house to them. It was only rented. But one thing they did that I thought was a bit off in a rented property. We had the keys in case of emergency. So the guy gets in touch with us from France and says that they're moving out. And could we go over and make sure that everything's okay? So I said, yeah, no problem. So we went across. Do you remember taking Maya? And he was straining at the leash to get in the house. Oh, he loved it.
Well, she had everything.
She's had everything.
Well, she's back.
Actually, might be, but I've got nothing else to give her, so she'll have to be satisfied. So we went across. Maya dashed in because they'd got a dog. And obviously, he could smell this dog. And now we walked in and I just looked at the walls and I said, oh, my God. Everywhere you looked, there were holes in the walls. It'd been pictures. Well, it looked like picture hooks they'd put up. But, I mean, how many pictures can you get on a wall? I mean, 4 or 5 surely is enough. Every single wall in every single room had at least 60. I said to Maggie, it looks like a colander. So we had to get on. We had to take some pictures and say, well, yeah, everything's in one piece and nothing's missing. But there's a few picture holes in the wall, you know, where these picture hooks have been. And he said, oh, that's not a problem, you know, don't worry about it. And I said, well, it's not like 2 or 3. There's quite a few. We took these pictures and I sent them back to him. And he went, what were they doing? I said, I don't know. Would you like me to get someone to sort it out? I thought I could do it, but you know what? I've not got all day. They were in the hall, 2 of the bedrooms, the landing, the kitchen, the living room and the dining room. So 7 rooms just completely full of holes. It looked like termites had been. Utterly ridiculous. No, moving house is a really, really bad idea. I know if you're moving somewhere you want to move to and it's beautiful, then you'll do it. But even then, it's still stressful, isn't it? Do you know what I have never moved house with? The one thing, like we're talking about, you know, boxes and jewellery and stuff and bank finance stuff. When we moved in here, I was 12. So I was a few years off having a computer. I have never moved house with a computer. When I went down to university, I didn't have a laptop. It's far too early for that. But I did have this Amstrad thing, which was in essence a laptop. It just didn't have like a full screen. It had like a strip screen above the keyboard. But I cannot imagine moving with iMacs and stuff. A heart would be in my mouth. Plus the fact, the chances of finding all the cables, just the cables that you need. I mean, I could probably find cables, thousands of them. You know, I mean, I pulled a drawer out the other week and there were some Firewire cables in it. Now, admittedly, I've got Firewire drives, but that's not much good when I don't have something to plug a Firewire cable into computer-wise, is it? So I can find cables. Whether I can find the right cables or not is another business. And the ones that you need are never the ones that you've got. When we did the switcheroo here, one of the USB hubs never came back. So I said, well, it might be the cable or it could be the hub. So Mike said, well, let's swap the cable. Did I have a spare cable for this? No. It was a USB one, but it was a really weird shaped USB one. So you've got a USB, a standard USB at one end that goes into a computer. That's easy. But the other end of a USB can be one of about at least 7 different ends. And this one happened to be the squarish one, the biggest square one that they do. And I said, well, nothing uses it apart from the USB hub. There's a different one on the scanner that's square, but I might can't tell one cable from another. So that's my job. So he picks one up and says, well, won't this fit? And I thought, not unless you take a hammer to it and remodel it. No. So we had to order one from Amazon. Other thing we've got lying around is things like audio cables. for the microphones, because in the house we've got it set up with permanent cables in. So there are two cables going into the Zoom recorder come mixer permanently, and they are permanently installed, you know, under the desk and around the walls. But if one breaks, you have to be able to just reach down, pick up another cable and plug that in. I actually have my eye at the moment on a new toy, talking of audio. It's not cheap, but I really fancy it. So watch this space. Might be a new incoming audio toy, if I can persuade myself. Because there's lots of other things that I'd like as well. Nothing from CES. You know, not spending money on a very clever toilet, but I do fancy this new audio device. Not as expensive as the one I've got, to be honest. And the one that I've got is also a digital recorder. So getting this other one that would probably be less than half the price I paid for this one would free this one up to be a mobile digital recorder for backups, which was what it was for originally. So I am severely tempted. I just need to persuade myself that it's a wise investment of £200. Does anybody want to help me make that decision and tell me that it is a wise investment of £200? Be very grateful. Just put it in the chat. Let me know. Is that a good idea? Because it does mean an unboxing, obviously. So definitely worth it in my mind. It's two new devices that have come out from Zoom. Not Zoom the telecom people. Zoom, the hardware manufacturer that does audio stuff. So mine's a H6. I've got H6 and a H4. The H4 was pretty good. The only reason I upgraded to the H6 was it takes four XLR inputs instead of two. And we were going to be doing OBs, outside broadcast. Remember, when you're away from home, holidays, hotels, back in the day when you could that. So we may have needed more than two inputs. So I upgraded. But when I got this H6, I realised how much faster it was than the H4. Now you're thinking it's a recording device. What do you mean faster? Just literally turning it on. This turns on and it probably takes about 3 or 4 seconds. The H4, you turn it on and it must take about 30 seconds to warm up. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, when it's 15 seconds before broadcasting, you've not turned on, it feels like an eternity. So the H6... I would say is much, much better than the H4. There's nothing wrong with the quality of the H4, as long as you've turned it on 3 weeks before you need it. This new one is an interface rather than being a recorder. Having said that, it records. But it records via the XLR inputs to an SD card. Whereas this one, when you use XLR microphones, it doesn't record to the internal card. You have to hook it up to a computer. It does have different microphone slots at the top. So it has a mount point for microphones, and then it's shipped with three different microphones. So one is for like speech, one is for like spaces, but you can also get things like a shotgun adapter for it as well. So this one's far more flexible, hence the price. But the other one would be very neat on the desk, and the ports go in the back. I just want it. Can you see me trying to justify it here? I just want it. So I'm going to have to think about that. Kim, that's bad. The Navy moved you 7 times in 5 years. I just can't imagine that. If I'm anywhere for like 6 months, I'll just live out the suitcase and be done. Oh, I miss Jonathan going. Night, Jonathan. All military for training courses apart from the last two. That must be, I guess it's part of the job, but still not pleasant, is it? Your neighbour does that all the time. He never has any room. You say get a bigger bin. Well, if we could get a bigger bin here, absolutely. But I just think it's so rude. I would never do that. I mean, we did the one time I ventured beyond the garden gate this year to cut the hedge. When I'd done it, I'd left it so long, there was more than would fit in the bin. So we dragged it in and we cut it up into smaller pieces. There was still too much for the bin. The bin was only being taken once every 3 weeks. So we just sectioned it off in the garden and left it. And then when the bin was empty, moved another lot in. We didn't just squat in somebody else's bin. Unbelievable. Three houses before you started school. No, I was blessed. I was old enough to know what was going on. but I'm a definite home person. I don't like moving. Pete had a tenant who redecorated the house without permission. Looked awful. The estate agents didn't check their ID properly either, and they tried to defraud you over the rent and deposit. Oh, fantastic. This is what freaks me out about potentially renting out. That, well, let's say there's a fair proportion of people who aren't exactly. What was the, phrase Dad used? Jonnock. Jonnock was a phrase Dad used. Legitimate. Let's say legitimate. My heart would be in my mouth what they were up to. Is it a Rode Podcaster mixer? That's one of them, but it's not a Rode one. No, it's the Rode one is there, but I believe Zoom are probably a better brand than Rode. But yes, there is a Rode one that's like a mixer come mixing desk included.
Tracy.
Paul did the sensible thing and get an extra bin.
Yeah.
We're not allowed extra bins.
No, it's against the rules. Yep. Tracy, the chocolate is absolutely delicious.
Oh, have you been munching?
Yes. I have a bit every now and again.
Do you really? When you're downstairs?
Well, more than every now and again.
Oh. Good evening, Tracy. Oh. Anthony's found his ideal house. Let's have a look at that one. Hang on, it's over here.
When I scrolled up the chat.
Oh, good grief, Anthony. Yeah, that would pretty much suit me, but why? Look at that. That is unbelievable. That, contrary to popular belief, that is not MacBite's headquarters. Can categorically say it's not MacBite's headquarters because it's got laminate flooring and we don't. But other than that, I can see a use for that lot, you know. I wonder what they put them in for. Good grief.
Aaron.
Yes, you've eaten. You're not having Tracy's chocolate. No, you've had the chicken things. You like those. You're not having Daddy's chocolate. Now she's grumpy. Well, you'd certainly never be short, would you? Never, ever be short of plugs there. Wow. Did your mum just like moving house, Tracy, or was there like a reason for it? Oh, Simon likes Road. I've heard good things and I've heard bad things. Some of the recordings I've heard have been fantastic. I don't know whether somebody's using it wrong or not. I don't know. But this thing's like a kit with like a touchpad controller thing, which is great if you're doing round table stuff in one place. Possibly less use if you're doing it across the internet. I don't know. I'm not sure Zoom do actual microphones. I know they do component microphones that go on top of the recorders. And we've always had good use out of those. I started with a Zoom H2, which in its day was pretty good. I think it was about 2010. And it was a field recorder. But it had the ability to turn into a microphone on your Mac by just plugging it in as a USB device. And it actually had like a mounting screw underneath it as well. So you legitimately could use that as a microphone. It was a very good microphone. So I had one of those. And another one that I had, which was similar to that, was an Edirol. Was it the R9? Both of them were field recorders. And I used them extensively when we went out to things like... We had things when we went to launches of products. We had like the countdown and then we were interviewing people outside. And they both worked well. They both still work well. Biggest issue with them is I think they only take a 2 gig card. And the 2 gig cards now are probably more expensive than the 128 gig cards. But I've still got them there. And I did buy, when they were still affordable, like 3 or 4 spares. So they're there as total backups. Then I've got the H4 and then I've got the H6. And the H6 has been good because it's so flexible. This new device is basically not as flexible as a recorder, but as it's portable enough that you could actually screw it to the top of a digital DSLR thing and plug your microphones into that. So I'm quite fancying it. See, I'm still trying to talk myself into it. There you go. See what I mean? What is it with people? Poor Tracy. Well, poor Tracy's son. Well, you've got to argue about the deposit. I guess you've got to take photos and video of how you left it, you know, because somebody could come in and then like, oh no, you've damaged this. But that's shocking. It really is. Kim would be worried about the wiring. I was, what kind of meter would you need in that house? And you know, you could do that much neater. So why? Why? You could put trunking around it. Must have been done fairly recently, though, because they're above the skirting board, aren't they? Which they now need to be. Is it 10 inches or 12? Because ours are lower than that. I hope we're grandfathered in on that, because I don't fancy moving them all. And I did do all the rewiring, didn't I, about a year before Mum died?
Yeah.
She decided one of the plugs wasn't right. It cracked. So she wanted a new one, and then she wanted them all to match. So she went out and bought like 36 face plates, and that was me sorted for the weekend. Dad was delirious because the electric had to go off. Can't you do it with it turned on, he said. I thought, yeah, as long as you hold the wires for me, Dad. Absolutely. Oh, dear. Why would you dismantle a smoke alarm, Anthony? But one tenant did. When the fire alarm was going off, Frankie's mum told us what he should do. She said you might want to get out. Is this what we're breeding today? People who have to ring their mum to ask what to do in those circumstances. Unbelievable. But you also had one whose boyfriend had gone AWOL from the army and the police paid her a visit. Unfortunately, she didn't answer the door, so they gained access using the big red key. The world's gone crazy, hasn't it? Absolutely crazy. Even if we decided, for whatever reason, and this is like, the chances of this happening is like minus 100, to head off when it was safe to do a tour of the world, I'd rather leave the house empty than have all of this trouble. I really would. Sage advice from Paul. He thinks I should purchase because he's opened his pocketbook plenty of times after I've done demos. Well, there you go. That's one vote for yes. And I'm voting for yes. So we'll have to see what happens there. Kim's last landlord made her pay rent. We had a storm and the place had 3 foot of standing water. It was partially their fault. The drain outside wasn't working. Again, it's criminal, isn't it? It's such... You know, if it goes well for you, it's probably fantastic. Like the couple opposite, apart from the holes in the wall and the bin issues, you know, it paid for them to be in France for 2 years, which was something that was on their bucket list. The reason they decided to do it then was the guy had been diagnosed with cancer. Wasn't it in the throat? Because it ended up having ramifications. He must have had chemotherapy. And the ramifications were a lot of his teeth were loose. So he then needed a lot of dental work doing. So I think he might have had some kind of crowns put on at some point. Because he was going for like chemotherapy treatment and then heading off to the dentist. And it seemed to be like flip-flopping between the two. And it was just something that he wanted to do. To be honest, when he got there and did it, he didn't really enjoy it as much as he thought he would. Wife did, though. She was fantastic. She loved it. She did not want to come home. He definitely wanted to come home. Mind you, it might have done him some good because he's still going now. And that was when Maya was a baby, so it must have been at least 15, 16 years ago. And he's still going. But he just didn't enjoy it as much as he thought he would enjoy it, which is typical, isn't it? You have something on your mind for a long, long time, and then it's not what you thought it would be. You listen to your grumbling. I love the way she kind of... looks up through her lashes, doesn't she, when she knows she's in trouble. Maya never bothered. He just knew. Right, so be good. You've had your treats. I won't say do you need any more, because the answer would be yes. But you're not having any more, are you? Because you're going to be a good girl. She's got a look on her face that says, am I? Okay. Good night, Simon. Well, we will have to head off too, because it's book club. It's part one of book club. So we'll sort that out. But what else have we got? What's happening this week? Is there anything, any events or anything this week that we can get excited about? See, it always used to be so exciting, January, because you'd have Macworld, but we don't have Macworld anymore. But do you know what? There could be an Apple event. There could legitimately be an Apple event. because they're still banging on about those, what they're calling them, AirTags. And seeing as though Apple have started doing events that are pre-recorded and, you know, an hour's fine, AirTags, what do we think? They've been kicked around as an idea for so long and we've seen so many prototypes. I'm in two minds. One half of me says, of course they'll come out eventually. It could be this month. And the other is, could it possibly all be some kind of big hoax? Because they really have been mentioned that many times. I honestly don't know with that. I'd say March would be the first Apple event.
Rev John.
But...
taking that.
Yeah, do put that on. I will be with you in moments. I will. What was I talking about? Yeah, could it actually be that they'll stagger things? Instead of having a big event that's like 3.5 hours, they'll actually just do one item. I honestly don't know. Do we think we'll see these? Is it a new book? No, it's really weird, Paul. Really weird. When we did the last one, this book club's run twice. And the idea of it is, it's to do the book like you would at a book club. But where we're putting the notes, everybody's sharing their notes. And we're sharing it via a shared graph. The issue is the app that we're using for it is not really intended for sharing. So that's proving stressful. But the first one we did was all about the book. And it was, as I would have expected, a standard book club. The second one was the book that I mentioned and I've got down as a thing for a future after hours, which was the Taking Smart Notes. But what happened after the first week, it got weird because instead of focusing on the book was always there, like in the background. But instead of doing what we did the first time, which was this week we're doing chapter 1 and 2. And next week we're doing chapter 3. It all kind of merged into one as, well, you've probably read the book. And I'm like, well, the point is we've discussed the book, but per chapter. Only we didn't with this one. It was more about the process of taking smart notes about the smart notes book in this system. So I must admit, I thought this is very different than the first one. Other people clearly thought the same because the feedback was, why didn't we do this book in the way that we did the first book, where we took chapters in order and analysed them week by week. So that's what we're doing this time, taking the book chapter by chapter and analysing it week by week. So that's what we'll be doing with it. So I'll probably leave the thing in after hours for a couple of weeks, see how we get on with it. If it's an improvement on the last one. Otherwise, I'll just do my own interpretation of it and share it. You've read they have a folding phone patent. Oh, so have I. On the one hand, that seems like that's a really bad idea. And on the other, it's a bit like a tail wagging the dog if everybody wants it. I mean, that's how the Apple Watch happened. They brought out the Nano? It was a really tight... No, it wasn't the Nano. It was the clip-on one. They brought out a clip-on iPod with a screen that, looking at it, was very similar to the Apple Watch. And what happened was, Apple didn't do it, but everybody else started bringing out straps for this iPod. And people were wearing it as a watch. So Apple decided, looking at that, hey, you know, we might as well make one of those. And instead of selling it at like £90, we could sell it for £600. With different straps. And that's exactly what they did. So if people are, if the feedback is, folding phones, absolutely cool idea, maybe Apple will do it whether they think it's a good idea or not. In the same way they did bigger phones when Steve Jobs said, you don't need bigger phones. That the original iPhone was scientifically designed so you could reach any button with your thumb. And if you try that on like a plus phone, like I've got now, no chance. So, I don't know who he's talking to, you know, but he's not saying what I thought he'd be saying. I'll have to go and sort him out shortly. But the new ones, you know, you need two hands or you need to use the, what's that thing called? The one where you swipe it down a bit and it goes down to the bottom. So it kind of shrinks it. They may do, they may not. We'll have to see. And then, of course, there's the car, which they've kind of been outed on by, wasn't it Mitsubishi? We're working with Apple on a car. I thought, joy. I wish somebody had worked with Apple on iWork. You know, something I am actually likely to use. But not happening at the moment. Anyway, we will find out what is coming. It could be by the end of this month, maybe, maybe not. We don't know, but we'll find out. So, for the moment, we'll be back with you tomorrow, but I'm going to say goodnight from me, and I will say goodnight from Mike, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.